turn to God's Word, to John's first epistle and the second chapter. First John chapter 2. I'll read from verse 24, but concentrate on verses 28 to 29. First John chapter 2, reading from verse 24. Therefore, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. These things I have written to you concerning those who tried to deceive you. For the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. You do not need anyone to teach you. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. If you know that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. Amen. And I wanted to read verses 24 to 27, even though I preached upon them last week, because he keeps using that phrase, abide in you, abide in him, abide in you, abide in him. And he begins in verse 28, addressing them now as little children. They're not literally physically little children, though some of them may be. But rather, he speaks as a spiritual father to spiritual children. He cares for them, he has a compassion upon them. People are trying to lead them astray, ensnare them, and entrap them. And he cares for them. And now, little children, he says it again. Abide in him. Remain in him. Cleave to him. Be found in him. Rely on him. Be associated with him. Be his and remain his. And then he gives a reason, because he's going to appear. Now, I suspect the people to whom John is writing have not seen the Lord physically walk on the earth as John had himself, and of course neither have we. To us, he has not appeared. He came, and people like John testified and witnessed and wrote down what they saw. But the day is coming when we will see him. He will appear. I remember an old lady in a former church, and she had it in her head that she would not die until the Lord came. Well, she got to 90. And she got to 100. And I think she died aged 103, but you know what? She died before the Lord came. And yet, in another respect, the day she died is the day he appeared to her. Because that very day, when that body was lifeless and those of us on the earth were mourning, in fact, she was in the very presence of Jesus Christ, beholding him in all his glory and in all his beauty. Well, I think John is specifically talking now about when he actually comes back to the earth. And yet, there is a sense in which, if we are not the generation found on the earth when he comes back, we will see him on the day that we die. But John says, when he appears, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Well, we don't want to be ashamed at his coming. How do we avoid that? Well, from verse 28, by abiding in him. We don't want to be the one who gave up, who went after another God, who allowed themselves to be deceived by the people alluded to in verse 26. Or indeed, we know from verse 29 that part of the false teaching which is infecting or trying to infect the church to whom John is writing, it divorces lifestyle from theology. Their theology is wrong, They deny that Jesus has come in the flesh, but they're also living in an ungodly way. And of course we know, although it's possible to be subject to a sterile orthodoxy and have no life, as a general rule, false theology gives birth to filthy living. So to abide in Christ is not only to live in him and love him, but to live in such a way which pleases him. And for so doing, that if he were to come back this week or this year or maybe a long time hence, we won't be ashamed. I think most of you know, until quite recently, I was a teacher. Sadly not anymore. But the big ordeal for us was the coming of Her Majesty's Inspector. Or rather, the Office for Standards in Education, Ofsted. And a whole industry built up. Are you Ofsted ready? And we'd have to, as head of department at one point, we'd have to do various bits of paperwork because Ofsted might want to see it. So yeah, there's no other purpose for it. You know, the children, the parents, no one bothers about them, but Ofsted, of course, they would come. And I was a teacher for 22 years, and on only two occasions did Ofsted come. So it was a big deal. But of course, John is talking about something far more final and important, significant and profound than a group of school inspectors. It's the coming of Jesus himself, the heart inspector, the church inspector, the lifestyle inspector. But of course, one can't really compare him to an inspector. He's far, far greater than that. When he comes, it will be final, and the life will utterly change. Mm. And John evidently is writing to people who want to live in anticipation of that coming. And of course we know he did not come during that time. And every generation that has lived has fancied itself a final one, and they've all been wrong. And we might think it's going to happen in our lifetime, and we might be wrong as well, but we are to live in anticipation of it. Because if he doesn't come in our lifetime, rest assured, the day will come when you'll breathe no more and you'll stand before him. And we ought to live and believe and behave so that we can be confident when we stand before him and not ashamed. He says, if you know that he is righteous, that he is righteous, you know that everyone who practices righteousness is born of him. The true believer will want to live a life that pleases him. Because he is righteous and they want to be like him. And the charlatans, the false teachers, they do not live lives pleasing to him because they don't abide in him. They've created another Jesus, a Jesus who never came in the flesh. They deny him. But if you're faithful to him, you will want to live a way that pleases him. So that when you stand before him, he will say those words which every believer so dearly wants to hear. Well done, good and faithful servant. That first hymn we sang tonight, I chose in particular. And it was written to say that even the everyday chores and tasks we do, we should do for his glory. If I'm a housewife, or in the first century, a slave. If I'm a nobody, can I be all of those things to his glory and for his honour? Yes, I can. whatever my station, whatever my call, may I do it in such a way that I am practicing righteousness born from abiding in him. We don't be righteous so that he will adopt us, far from it. But because he has adopted us and accepted us, redeemed us and welcomed us back into the family, we now ought to behave like that. There should not be a chasm between our theology and our lifestyle. May God bless that word too.